Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Inside the Studio, presented by iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Joe Levy. Okay, I know it's January, but quick flashback to Christmas. I'm not sure how Santa treated you. Around my way, he brought more supplies for inside living, like a new dish rack, because it really looks like we'll be living inside for a while longer, and there are always dishes to do. But if you didn't get exactly what you needed, then Jake Bug, the guest on this episode of the Home Edition of the show, has a suggestion. Find yourself a musical instrument, because that's what's been keeping him grounded. We started the Home Edition of Inside the Studio to let you know how the pandemic has impacted the lives of artists and how they're coping with life during lockdown. And Jake says that songwriting has been a real lifesaver for him during this period. He talked with our quarantine correspondent, Jordan Runtog, about drawing inspiration from all sorts of places, 60s psychedelia, current electronic music, and about what he learned from working with producers like Rick Rubin and Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys, and also why lockdown has made him interested in carbo loading. It's not what you think. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out the iHeartRadio podcast that Jordan hosts. It's called Rivals, Music's Greatest Feuds, and it is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest today released his self-titled debut in 2012 when he was just 18 years old. The retro-tinged tracks showcase a talent and soul beyond his age, leading to collaborations with production titans like Rick Rubin and Dan Auerbach. He's in the midst of recording a new album, this time with producer Andrew Watt, who's previously worked with the likes of Post Malone and Cardi B. His latest batch of songs move beyond the folky gut bucket blues of his early work and draw from the psychedelic sounds of 60s San Francisco bands like Jefferson Airplane. You can get a taste on his new single, All I Need. I'm so happy to welcome Jake Bug.
Thank you.
Oh, Jake, how are you today? Thank you so much for coming. How does this day in lockdown find you today?
Yeah, it's okay. Just another day of many more of them to come. But I think maybe, well, I'm speaking for myself, but feeling a little more relaxed now. Christmas is coming up, and maybe spend some time with the family, hopefully.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, it's the best part of this time of year. You recently released a new single, All I Need. And I was particularly taken by the first line, call me cynical but original, trying to fit into a world that's so digital. I consider myself an old soul, so that sentiment really resonated with me. I wanted to ask you what that line meant to you. Do you see yourself as an analog man trying to fit in a digital world? Because I definitely do.
Yeah, to a point, but I think it's more about, you know, the time's moving so quick, and it's very difficult to sometimes keep up. You know, it goes for many things. I mean, you know, something that, you know, was okay to say yesterday, maybe not tomorrow or something. And, you know, and that goes for social media and things like that. So, yeah, it's just about everything moving a little too quick and trying to fit in where you can, I suppose.
I love that track. That riff, it's like a lost Dave Davies riff or something. It's such a great tune. You've said that the song is about being completely engaged in something, being like lost in that moment of flow. Has songwriting been a source of solace for you during this really stressful, bizarre time?
Absolutely. I mean, I actually consider myself quite lucky to be able to, you know, to sit down with an instrument and write songs. And in this period of time, it's just, yeah, it's a bit of a lifesaver, really, for me mentally. And yeah, I don't know what I'd do without it, to be honest. I kind of urge everybody to go out and get an instrument.
I was gonna say, have you been feeling productive musically? I know with a lot of people I know, they're either feeling like super productive or the other half are just, you know, all right, I put my pants on today. It's a good day. How have you been feeling? Been feeling productive?
Bit of both. I kind of, yeah, the weekends are pants days. I try and keep a little bit of a balance. So, but yeah, I've been working on music for a film about a Brazilian soccer player called Ronaldinho. So that's kind of, it's kept me very much busy, and also I love my soccer, and he was a great player, so it's just wonderful to be part of something different and something as cool as that, really.
How does composing music for a film differ for just writing music for you? It seems like a lot more technical, if that's the word, just kind of composing to a really specific medium. What's that been like for you?
It's been great, to be honest. It's a completely different way of looking at music. For example, like when I'm working towards a scene, and you know, it can be quite difficult because this scene, it might have some tension, it might be quite dark. But along the way to writing the piece for the scene, I might create two or three things that I'm like, oh, that's really good, but I have to just leave it alone because it doesn't work with the film. And in a way, it's kind of been, this music's kind of been a little bit more for me because I don't have to listen to my voice for so long. It's nice to have a break, to be honest. There's no singing, so it's been good.
How has the pandemic impacted your ability to write and record? Do you have a home setup or?
Yeah. So just a couple of mics, the SM7 as you're using now, and an SM57 as well, and a synthesizer, and a couple of percussive bits, but nothing too big. It's nice to, it's like a little workstation more than anything.
You've worked with some incredible producers. I mean, Rick Rubin, Dan Auerbach, and most recently, Steve Mack. What are some crucial lessons that they've sort of taught you about production, or that you've learned through watching them?
To be honest, it's kind of, I've learned a lot from these guys, but it's also impacted my songwriting a lot as well, thinking in that vein, just because a lot of the times, you know, as musicians, we try and make things a little too complicated for ourselves, and we forget that sometimes, you know, the listeners just want, you know, the main body of the song. They just want you to get to the point. They want to hear the bits they like. And working with Steve Mack and people like that have kind of made me more aware of getting to the point a little more, and simplifying things more than anything, rather than, you know, you don't always need that extra chord, or you don't always need that extra note in the riff. So it's a good way of looking at it now.
Like an editor almost.
Yeah, also, yeah, pretty much. But as I say, it's impacted my writing. It helps me to, if I can think like that as in the writing process, then it just saves a lot of time when you get into the studio as well.
I'm always curious with people who can write music. Are you superstitious at all? Is there a certain guitar that you like to use, or a certain room you like to be in, or a time of day? Is there something that you feel is like, I don't want to say lucky, but I guess superstition is the word I should use. Or is that completely out the window?
I think I used to be when I was younger, but it just started driving me too mad. I used to play soccer a lot, and obviously in soccer there's a lot of superstition, isn't there? So,
oh yeah.
Growing up, and then one day I was just like, I've had enough. It's just driving me mad. So I let all that go. But You know, I kind of have certain things I like to, like when I'm like at a concert, I always like to make sure we end on a high song rather than a sad song and things like that. But not so much superstitions. No.
Prior to lockdown, you were working with producer Andrew Watt in the States, who's worked with people like Cardi B and Post Malone, which are names that people wouldn't ordinarily associate with your music. What's that collaboration been like? Has it radically altered your work process at all?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great because it's given me a totally different perspective. More so anything, it was working with Andrew Watt. It was just really fun more than anything. There was always a high energy around. There was always great musicians stopping by and playing, and you know, Chad Smith would come by and just play on the kit for us a little bit, and it was absolutely brilliant. And that was a good thing for me to be in a studio where the energy is very high, because a lot of the time in the past it's just been me sat down with a guitar with somebody or on my own. So it was a great way of working. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Chad Smith, you mentioned, from the drummer of Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Pete Thomas too, from The Attractions and Elvis Costello and The Imposters. What was it like having those guys on the kit?
It was brilliant. It was funny. I think playing with those guys just helped me to improve as a musician. It, like, you know, if you can't stay in time with Chad Smith, then it's probably not for you, music, because he's like the tightest drummer there is. So and he hits them really hard as well. He came to play a show. I think it was like a Lollapalooza tour in South America, and we had a show in Argentina, and he just dropped by the show and played on the drums. And my sound guy had to turn him all the way down because he was that loud in this club. I don't think he had any of them in the PA, to be honest.
Yeah, I can say that guy knows how to project, I guess is the way I'll put it.
For sure, yeah. For sure.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Now, I know you're working on your new album. How would the sound compare to some of your work that's come before, specifically your first two albums? Is it a radically different sonic departure for you?
I think sonically, yes, definitely. It's one thing I wanted to achieve with this new album was I wanted to take, you know, everything that was about me, my DNA and all the music I love, but try and put it into the now, really, and try and modernize it in terms of its production. And I just wondered, how could I bring all those older influences and all the music that I love into a more modern sound? And working with people like Andrew Watt and Steve Mack and things like that have really helped me to I believe, achieve that. So I'm just trying to strive for that, really, and see what happens.
I read an interview where you gave, where you're talking about the songs you're recording now, and that the only through line that you were able to really sense in it was an influence of Jefferson Airplane, the great 60s psych rock, San Francisco psych rock band. What is it that attracts you to that psychedelic sound? I love it too.
I don't know. I guess it's, I think I loved it so much when I was a teenager, and it was just such a great escape. And like, how are they getting these sounds? And at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's drum kit, guitars, bass, but I was just always wondered how they got such a trippy sound out of it. And I thought it was something that's maybe lacking in today's music, a bit more psychedelia. I thought, why not make it a little more trippy and a little bit on the darker side? So, and that's why also working with the Camel Fat guys, for the house song that I did with them, it was very much that. It's more darker melodies and a little bit trippier side. So I really enjoyed it.
I love the track you did with Camel Fat, Be Someone. What was the response from the electronic community with that? Did they embrace you with open arms?
Surprisingly, I wouldn't usually say yeah, even if they did. But in this case, I was very surprised. We played, I came out and played with them at Coachella, and the crowd, well, I think anybody could have been singing on the stage and they would have been having a great time, to be honest. But it was nice to be part of. And then we played in Ibiza, and it just felt very strange to perform without a guitar, just a microphone, and doing a dance song of all things. So it was a great experience, and I think it was good for me to, you know, push myself out of my comfort zone a little as well.
Getting back to the psychedelic vibe, I love the videos you've had recently with the filmmaking collective High Art, the ones for Rabbit Hole and Saviors for the City. They're incredible. They remind me of an Alex Gray painting or something. What was the background with those? How did you first link up with High Art?
Well, that was the first instance was we had to do a what they call a vertical video now. For like Spotify and things like that, for the Camel Fat song. So they already had their video, and then we had to do, it was like an extra video, bit of content they wanted. So I met them through that, and I love what they did. And I just love their ideas for the same kind of principle, really, in psychedelic, crazier effects going on, lights, and also, you know, an underlining dialogue as well, but nothing that takes away from the song at all, which is important to me. I don't like videos that have their own concept that's derivative from the music or that has too much dialogue. I think it should be open for interpretation, I believe.
Oh, and it supports your music in such an incredible way. It's some of the most amazing videos I've seen in a very long time. I loved Saviors of the City. Came out in the spring. Right when the world was going into lockdown, it felt so perfect for the global situation. But that song had been around for quite some time, right?
Yeah, it has. And that was the interesting thing about it. We kind of had written it, and kind of as a, yeah, it's like a post-apocalyptic kind of song, really. And then when it kind of got released in the spring, it just kind of took on this whole different meaning, and people were messaging me going, oh, you've really captured how things are, I'm feeling, and it's, I didn't even write it for that, bizarrely, but yeah, it's pretty apt at the moment, I thought.
It's going to be tough deciding which songs to release at a time like this, because on one hand, you don't want to come across as, you know, sort of flippant, but on the other hand, you don't want to add to the darkness too. That must be a difficult needle to thread.
Absolutely, yes. I've got many songs ready to go, but I think we was very conscious of that when releasing All I Need, because it's really not a time people want to feel even sadder and down. So we was quite conscious of that, and just wanted to give people something with a bit more energy and a little bit more upbeat, really.
You started recording when you were, what, 18? Are there any songs from earlier in your career that have had the meanings really change for you over the years and evolve?
I guess, yeah, I remember one of the songs we did with Rick Rubin on the second album, Shangri-La, Simple Pleasures. That wasn't even a single or anything. And so when we play it live, it's like, it's kind of a crowd favorite. We kind of play it second to last and stuff. And it's one of those where they sing along to the riff, which is always fun. It was never a single release. And that's totally taken on its own life. I might have even accidentally stuck a 10-minute solo in the end of it sometimes, but but it's just a nice fun one that we enjoy playing. So, and no 10-minute solos, I made that up.
Maybe next time. Get you back out there.
Maybe when the first gig's back, hopefully everybody will be so happy to be back at a gig, they'll tolerate a 10-minute solo, who knows?
I mean, that has to be just so tough for you, not having, you know, that access point with the fans, that face-to-face connection. What's been filling that space for you?
It has been difficult. And to be honest, the filling that space has just been the support on the social platforms, really, from my audience and my fans. And honestly, from my own personal opinion, I couldn't ask for a better fans, really, in terms of when things haven't been going my way and maybe I haven't released the music that they want to, they're still very much very supportive of me and have stuck with me, and it's been amazing, really. I can't ask for much more, so I want to say thank you to them if any of them are listening.
Well, then let me ask you this, if you haven't been touring for a while, to make that pain a little less, what was your biggest performance mishap, biggest like Spinal Tap moment, where just everything was going wrong on tour, on the stage?
Funny enough, like on stage it's never been too bad, but we've definitely had some Spinal Tap moments where we haven't been able to find the stage and and things like that. Honestly, it's totally, let's rock and roll, oh no, it's that way,
yeah.
On stage, I'm trying to think. It's been, in fact, the one Spinal Tap moment. I for the end of the set, I usually play my song "Broken" from the first album, and it's a moment where the band walk off and they have 5 minutes or whatever, and then after the song they come back on, and so they all come back on. And I'm like, "Where's Robbo? Where's the bass player?" And he'd gone out for a cigarette. He'd gone out for a cigarette outside a fire door, and it had closed behind him.
Oh my God, that sounds like a nightmare. Did he ever make it back on?
Yeah, he made it back on, but I was just like, what were you doing? He goes, sorry, I got locked outside. I was like, there's like 2,000-3,000 people waiting here, mate. You know?
That's...
There's plenty more as well. I'm sure they'll come to me later on.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Now, you came from a very musical family. Was there a moment when you knew that music was going to be your path, or was it always a given? Was this always something that you knew you wanted to pursue?
To be honest, I wouldn't say it's out of confidence or anything like that, but from the age of 14, I knew it's what I wanted to do. Whether or not I'd be doing it to this level or not, I really didn't know, but it didn't matter to me. I just wanted to... I wanted to see the world and I wanted to play music, and unfortunately that's happened, and to a degree that I couldn't have wished for, really. So yeah, very, very grateful for the opportunities. But I always knew I'd be doing it. Even if we were doing the toilet tour, we'd still be doing it. So, and I think that's what somebody mentioned to me many years ago. They said, if you're happy to stay in the terrible hotels and play the small gigs and you're happy doing that, then it's probably for you. So,
I know early on, one of your earliest musical influences was Don McLean, most famous probably for writing American Pie, but so many other incredible songs, Empty Chairs, Vincent. And I think you recently appeared in the Classic Albums documentary about the American Pie album. I just want to ask you, what was it about his work that touched you so deeply?
For me, I think it's hard to describe. When you feel an emotion or emotions conveyed to you through song, it can be very difficult to describe why you like it or why you don't. But I think that's what I felt. I felt a sincerity behind the songs. I felt a connection. And most of all, they were just very beautiful melodies with great lyrics. And I think that's just what spoke to me. It's quite difficult to describe, really.
What have you been listening to during lockdown? I've been finding myself returning to songs I haven't listened to in 10 years, like musical comfort food, I guess. But have you been feeling that way too?
Yeah, I've been trying to. Well, because I've been working on the documentary for Ronaldinho, soccer player, I've been having to learn and listen to a lot more samba and bossa nova and things like that. So,
like Gilberto.
Yeah, exactly. That guy. I've been rinsing his albums this year. I think he was the top artist on the Spotify Wrapped for me or something like that. So that's been great. But also, I've been trying to find something a bit more up. So a bit of Funkadelic and stuff like that been coming up, which is cool. I've trying to been listen to a bit more modern music as well. Like Baby Rose is really cool, and Phoebe Bridges has got some really nice stuff as well. So. Trying to listen to it. I need to listen to a bit more modern music. but saying that, you know, the old stuff's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can't beat a 70s drum kit.
Oh, yeah.
I love Bill Withers. He's one of my favorites.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that voice. That was, I was so sad earlier this year when he passed. He's an absolute legend.
Absolute legend. And fortunately enough, I was lucky enough to, on my third album, play with James Gadson, his drummer, which is like my favorite drummer of all time, and it was just a dream come true. Sometimes it would just be me and him jamming in the room. I was like, this is just ridiculous. I have no business being sat in this room with this guy right now. So absolute pleasure.
You and drummers, man, you got some incredible drummers. Okay, Pete Thomas.
Yeah, set the one I have for life, funny enough. No.
who other heroes of yours that you've been able to meet or play with?
Oh, I've been very fortunate. I worked with Mike D from the Beastie Boys one time, which is like I would never think like it would be even. Why would that even happen? But Mike's a great guy, and I love working with him. Such a fun energy to be around in the studio, and I toured with Noel Gallagher, which was great. That was pretty awesome. And I've had quite a few opportunities that are a bit spoiled, really. So,
has there been a, I guess I'll call a silver lining with this whole sort of slowdown time for you, being able to stay a little more stationary and stay home? Has there been any upside to this for you?
I guess I've been more productive, but because I'm so used to traveling like a lot, like I'm really like desperate to go somewhere now. And to be honest, London's always been more of a convenience for me than a place I wanted to live. So, I'd love to I'd go anywhere. You know, I'd go farm sheep on an island if you asked me to.
I'd go to New Zealand, yeah.
That sounds brilliant, yeah, but they wouldn't let me in.
Oh, yeah, that's true. My last question, and I've been asking everyone this, and it's been so, everyone that I've spoken to for the show about this, and it's been so fascinating to hear everybody's different answers. And if you could snap your fingers and have everything go back to the way it was this time last year, back to normal, whatever your definition of normal is, what would be the first thing that you'd do? Places you'd go, people you hug, anything at all?
That's a good question, isn't it? Because I've been thinking about it, like, I can't remember the last time I even shook somebody's hand. It's so, you know, but I'm not saying that's what I'd go back and do. But Yeah, I don't know what I'd do, to be honest. I'd probably just make sure I had enough pasta at home, because everyone was stealing it.
Really? Everyone was stealing it? Why?
Not stealing, no, but everyone was buying pasta in bulk in the, I don't know if they were in the States, but yeah. It's just like, why pasta as well?
I never thought of that. We had canned goods and toilet paper over here, but not pasta, I don't think. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, the toilet paper was pretty scarce as well, to be honest. So I think they even put on a limit of how many could buy after a while. So, but I don't know. It's a hard one because I wouldn't really go back and do anything different because before life was great before. I was touring and playing shows and making music. So I wouldn't change anything, I don't think.
We'll get you back out there soon. Jake, thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure.
No, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you, mate. Thank you very much.
Inside the Studio is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.